I would like to ask you this afternoon, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I would like to read from Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. This one verse of Scripture, I believe, could be studied the rest of our lives, and we could concentrate on the importance of what we look at, and it would always be of great benefit and value. We need to often be reminded that the things that we look at have a profound effect on our lives. There are so many things that are out there that are good to look at. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to look at the beauty of nature. Someone recently sent me probably 100 pictures on the computer. It's some friends of mine in Bartow, Georgia. Brother Paul and Sister Sarah Ledger, they sent me at least 100 pictures of flowers that Brother Paul has been growing and all over the yard. And I know that diamonds are pretty and rubies. I know that there are precious gems that have great value. But I don't believe I've ever seen any diamonds or rubies that are as beautiful as a flower is. If you take a rose or a violet or some kind of flower that has a beautiful bloom on it, it's just beautiful to look at a flower. It's beautiful to look up at night, to look at the moon and the stars and all of the beauty in nature, to go out in the woods and walk around in the woods, to look at all of God's handiwork is something that ought to make us worship and praise God. All the beauty that God has all around us. Especially in the spring of the year. I had planted some trees last year, and so I've been going out every day as things begin to bud out. I've been wondering, did the freeze kill those trees? And every one of them now has just got just a tiny bud. And they looked dead until the little bud came forth. And so I'm thankful that they made it through the winter. But I just want us to think tonight about the statement that God's Word makes in Proverbs 29:18, where the Word of God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you and I both know that there are many people who have perished because they have used their vision in a wrong way. They've looked at the wrong thing. There are times that the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. There are times that men have left their families to go off after another woman. And most of the times it all started out with a look that ought not to have been there. David fell from great power and authority because he looked at Bathsheba. It was his looking at Bathsheba that led to him sinning by committing adultery and then by having Uriah the Hittite killed. It all started with a wrong look. He was looking at something he ought not to look at. Lot's wife, again, is an example of someone that looking in the wrong direction. God had told Lot and his family to get out of those cities, that God was going to destroy the cities, and told them not to look back. The Word of God tells us in Luke 9, verse 62, that no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we need to be careful about looking back. That's what Lot's wife did, and she perished. We can look at the very beginning of all creation. Look at the Garden of Eden, and you would see in Genesis chapter 3 that in the very beginning that Eve was deceived by Satan. And she began to look, she didn't start off by eating from the tree, she began by looking at the tree that God told them not to partake of. So I just want to first of all warn you that even though the Word of God makes it clear that where there is no vision, the people perish, I want you to know that there is vision that can lead to you perishing if you're looking at the wrong things. And I think especially today that the computer is one of the most wonderful things that we have, but it is also a very, very dangerous piece of equipment to have in your home. If you have a computer, then you need to have blocks, you need to have all kinds of things put on there where it makes it impossible for you to look at things that you ought not to look at, and for your children to not be able to look at things that they ought not to look at. There are a lot of things on the computer that are good, but there are a lot of very evil things that are on the computer. It all goes back to what you're looking at. Are we, all of us need to ask ourselves, are we looking at the things that God would have us to look at? Are we looking at the things that will bring abundant life, or are we looking at things that will bring death? Are we looking at things that will encourage and help us in our journey in serving God, or are we looking at things that are going to result in us walking the broad way that leads to destruction? What we're looking at is going to greatly affect our future and our present. What are you looking at? There are three main things I want us to look at this morning. First of all, tonight, and that is, the first thing is that we need to look to God every day of our lives. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I need to do is to look to the Lord for the strength and the grace and the wisdom that I need. And that's part of what I believe that was under consideration where the Word of God says that where there is no vision, the people perish. If I'm not looking to God, I'm going to perish. I need God. You need God. We need to be looking to God for the strength and grace and wisdom that we need every day in our lives. Everybody here is making decisions every day. Everybody here has responsibilities that you need to take care of every day, and you need to look to God for the strength and the grace that you need. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to the fifth Psalm, Psalm 5, verse 3. David here, as he does in many of the Psalms, David talks about him looking upward to God. And that's the first thing I want us to know is, and remember, is that we all need to look to God for the things that we need in our lives. In Psalm 5 and verse 3, David says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will," what are the last two words there? "And will" what? "Look up." Look up. In other words, he starts out by saying, "God, you're going to hear me every morning." Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that a man had that kind of determination that he makes the statement, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." He wasn't just talking about the day after this day. He's talking about every morning I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to pray unto the Lord. And I'm going to look up to God for the strength and grace and wisdom that I need. You need to pray every day. You need to begin every day in prayer. You need to begin every day by first looking to God. Before you ever look in the mirror at yourself in the morning, you need to look to God. The Word of God tells us that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, ever looking what? Ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I need to be looking to Jesus. If I don't look to Jesus, I cannot run the race that is set before me. If I look to Him, He'll help me and He'll guide me and He'll bless me. He will direct my paths if I have the wisdom and understanding that I need to know that I need to look up to God every day of my life. We need to look up to God and give Him thanks for the blessings that we have. We could spend tonight just giving personal testimony about how good the Lord has been to us, but that's one thing we need to do every time that we pray. The Scripture says, in everything to give thanks. In everything we need to give thanks to the Lord. So the first thing that we need to do, and if you don't do that, this text that says that where there is no vision, the people perish. You will perish if you don't look up to God. If you're not looking up to God, then you're going to perish. So may God help every one of us that we would realize and remember the importance of us looking up to God. Now, The second thing that the Scripture repeatedly talks about is the importance of us looking at ourselves and looking within ourselves, looking on the inside. You know, the Scripture tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I need to look at my heart. I need to, the Scripture says that I need to examine myself. I need not to spend all my time looking at other people and finding fault in their lives, but I need to pray, God, help me to look at myself. Help me to look up to you, but help me to look inside. Help me to examine my heart. Help me to ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Can you go through the motions of serving God and it not be moved and motivated out of a heart of love and gratitude for God? Well, so we need to periodically just stop and say, you know, I need to look at myself right now. I need to look inside of me and see what is it that is motivating me to do the things that I'm doing. Am I doing it to be seen of men? Am I doing it to really honor and glorify God? Am I doing it in secret so that my Father, which seeth in secret, will honor and bless the work that I do? So I need to look within. Turn to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, the Word of God tells us about the Apostle Paul looking inside of himself. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7 and see that the Apostle Paul, as he should have done and as he did do, he looked. Let me ask you this. Did Paul look up to God over and over in his life? Yes, he looked up, but did he also look within himself? Tell me why we don't like to look in ourselves. Why don't we like to look inside of ourselves? I think so. I think that's it exactly. I think that sometimes when we look inside of ourselves, we don't like what we see. So, and the wonderful thing is that when you look inside and you see what is inside, you can make changes in your life. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is looking inside of himself, and here's what he sees. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I'm going to ask you this question. Can you look at yourself and conclude that you are the most wonderful Christian that there is on the face of this earth? Can you, I'm going to repeat the question, some heads are going no, but I believe the answer is yes. Can you look at yourself and conclude you're the most wonderful Christian that's ever walked on the face of this earth? You can look and you can think that. If all you do is look on skin surface, if you don't look deep down inside, you can deceive yourself into thinking that you're an outstanding Christian. And I think that's as far as most of us want to look. If I'm going to look at myself, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to do a self-evaluation. I'm going to do a self-examination. I'm going to look inside of me. I'm going to think, you know, I prayed yesterday and I did this and I did that. And I'm going to look at a few things that I've done that are right, but I'm not going to really delve down deep and look much further than that. Brethren, when you begin to look at yourself and you begin to look inside of yourself, you need to pray, God, open my eyes so that I can see what Paul saw when he looked at himself. Here's what Paul saw. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. What's he saying there? There are many times that I intend to do good. How many times have you intended to go to the nursing home or intended to study God's Word, or you meant to do this, you meant to do that? How many of you can honestly say that you think that most of the time that you think about doing good, that you don't actually carry out those things that you think about? I believe God reminds us and warns us and moves us and motivates us to do all kinds of things, but if we're not careful, we're just going to sit down and do nothing instead of doing all those things the Spirit of God and the Word of God is telling us to do. So Paul says that he looked inside and he saw that the good that he would, he did not, but the evil which he would not, that he did. What's he doing right here? Where is he looking right here in Romans 7? He's looking at the inside. Who is helping him to look inside himself? You see, he's looked up first and asked God to help him examine himself, help him look within himself. And when he looks inside, he clearly sees he's a wretched man. He falls short of being what he ought to be. And that's true of everybody in this building and every other Christian all over this earth. The Word of God says there is none good, no, not one. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if I look far enough, if I look deep enough, I'm not going to conclude that I'm the most wonderful Christian on the face of the earth. I'm going to conclude like Paul did. Brethren, I think Paul was one of the best men that's ever lived on this earth. But Paul's conclusion was that he was the chief of sinners. Now, how could he come to that conclusion? Because he looked up to God. He saw how great God was. He saw God's holiness and God's purity. And as he looked and he saw God, and then he examined himself, he found that he was full of wretchedness in his life. He was like a whited sepulcher that on the outside he appeared to be good. But Paul says inside, I'm not at all what I need to be. So what do we need to do? We need to look inside of ourselves. What does it cause you to do when you look inside? I think it'll cause you to cry out for mercy. It'll cause you to cry out for grace. I believe it'll cause you to want to strive much harder to do the things that God has taught us in His Word that we ought to be doing. Turn to 2 John just a moment. Towards the end of the Bible, you have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, three small books at the end of the Bible. And in 2 John in verse 8, John's talking here about looking inside, about looking not just at the outside of your flesh, but looking inside. And so in 2 John verse 8, 2 John verse 8, the Word of 2 John verse 8, the Word of God says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. Is it important that you look at yourselves and look inside of yourselves? Yes, it is. Look to yourselves. Examine yourselves. And the third thing that I want us to look at, not only do we need to look to God every day, and not only do we need to look in ourselves, but now listen carefully. We need to look at other people. But usually when we look at other people, we look at other people the wrong way. We're not looking at other people the way the Word of God tells us to look at other people. What do you think we usually look at when we look at other people? What is it that we're looking at when we look at other people? Their faults. That's not what the Word of God says that we're to concentrate on. Back up in your Bibles to John chapter 4 just a moment. John chapter 4. This is talking about us looking at other people. Looking out at other people. We began by we need to look up to God every day. We need to look inside of ourselves. And then we need to look at other people. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus says, John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Brethren, I believe that all around us there are children of God that we don't even see and recognize. Those are children of God that we can go and have a profound effect in their lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And brethren, things were in a terrible condition when Jesus was alive and spoke these words. It wasn't that there were so many people that were living righteous lives that he says, look at the fields, they're white and ready to harvest. What Jesus was saying is, there is about to be a reaping. There's about to be a judgment. And as there's about to be a reaping and about to be a judgment, it is important that we go and we try to work with everybody that we possibly can. The fields are white and ready to harvest. Harvest time is here. And so it is that we as the people of God, we need to look on the fields and see that the fields are white and ready to harvest. And we need to be going out and working with our brothers and sisters in Christ, loving them and encouraging them to try to help them get closer to God. One other scripture, turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. And there are a lot of different reasons that we need to look out to others. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Word of God says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do I need to look at other people and see what they need? And you know what Jesus said in Matthew 25 to those on the right hand? He said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And he goes through and enumerates all the things that those people did. You know what those people had been doing? Did they have vision? Did they have good vision? They had been looking up to God, asking God to open their eyes. They had been looking in themselves and found that they needed to be more zealous and more committed in their service to God. And then they had been looking out around them and they were finding all these different kinds of people, all these people that needed their help in their lives. And so they were out serving the Lord by serving the people. And I want you to remember these words in closing. In Matthew 25, 44, the people that were on the left hand, the people that did not do any of the things that needed to be done to help other people, here's what Jesus said that they said to him. They said, when, listen carefully to these words now, in Matthew 25, 44, they said, when saw we thee and hungered and gave you, when saw we thee sick and in prison, when saw, you see, they didn't look out and see the needs of other people, and they did not look to God for the strength and grace and wisdom that they needed to go out and help other people. So I pray that God will help us to understand tonight that we need vision. Where there is no vision, where there is not the right kind of vision, we'll perish. And we need to look to God, lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We need to look to God every day. We need to look at ourselves and examine ourselves every day. And we need to look not every man on his own things, but we need to look on the needs of others. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.